Good morning.
Well, with the psalmist, we have an opportunity to rejoice in the house of the Lord here in person and also online. Do you have expectations for yourself? How about for your family? For your friends or even of your church? Is it safe to say that everyone has expectations, just not everyone's expectations are the same, nor are they all valid? God has expectations of us, and his expectations are not just blowing smoke, but are meant for everyone to live up to. Now, imagine if that were the case. If everyone put into practice God's expectations, what kind of world this could be like? But that is not the case, and we live and witness every day the results of such. Well, as we contemplate that, let us also give thanks in our worship today for the expectations God does put before us. And may he continue to help us live up to those expectations. With that thought in mind, invite your attention to the invocation on page 3. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord.
Let us shout aloud to God our salvation.
Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord.
Thank you.
This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us.
God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, hear the word of Christ through his called servant. All your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
for all that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil. Hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care.
Amen.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. A reading from Holy Scripture for this Sunday in Lent from the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter. These expectations that are listed are still valid today and very much needed. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
God's foolishness prevails. A reading from Holy Scripture, 1 Corinthians 1. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligent of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. John, the second chapter, where we see Jesus clear the temple of mockery while also giving another witness of his identity. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you,
Lord. Please be seated as we turn now to our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance, thanks to God our Father, and also through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the great example of God's love for us. We hear these words once again from the book of Exodus. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and a meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he not only has given us an example of how to live, but lived the life that we are to live, he lived that himself. And through the work of the Holy Spirit in us, using the means of grace to motivate us to put God's expectations into practice, we strive to do just that. But it's not easy, is it? How many of you have stopped listening to the news? And why have you stopped? I mean, the reasons are many, but there's some consistency in the reasons that I've heard over the years. People have stopped listening to the news either years ago or recently, and one of the common denominators, it's depressing. One negative news story after another. Who got shot lately? What natural disaster this or natural disaster that? I do find it fascinating that news is not called news anymore, but a show. I guess that makes sense. We're not out to proclaim the news anymore, but to get ratings. And the gorier the details, the ratings go up. That can be depressing. But it also reflects reality of life, right? Life can be depressing if we allow it to be. One negative thing after another taking place, not just recorded on the news. So even if we turn the news off, we still have evidence all around us that something's not right in this world. The Lord reminds us of what is not right. He reminds us of what the solution is. And before we start pointing too many fingers at others and how they are messing up the world, the Lord reminds us we need to also point all the fingers to ourselves, lest we become self-righteous and puff ourselves up. And so the expectations that the Lord had set before Israel are also still valid expectations for us today. Though we don't follow the moral law as God gave it to the Israelites back then because it's written on the pages of Scripture, rather we follow that moral law because it sums up the natural law God has written on our hearts, the hearts of all people. And as children of God, we want to live up to God's expectations. So God sums up what his expectations are. Not just in these Ten Commandments, but they can be summed up even shorter than that, right? Five words. Love God and your neighbor. And then we can take it down to one word. What does God expect of his creation? Love. Not just any kind of love, the love that he is and then the love that he expects of us. Well, what does that love consist of? Well, for Israel, it consisted of complete obedience to him. And really, that's what it consists of for us too. The motivation for this complete obedience to God, well, the Lord provides that for them and also for us. He starts off by reminding Israel of the motivation for staying obedient to him. I am the Lord your God. One commentator has described this as the greatest gospel phrase in the Old Testament. I am the Lord your God. the Yahweh God, the covenant God, the God who keeps promises, makes them and keeps them, the God who also has created us and preserves his creation, the God who has expectations and gives us the ability to live those expectations, the God who has given us salvation. I am, there is no other. I am the Lord your God. And what did I do for you as the Lord your God, Israel? I delivered you out of the hands of slavery, physical slavery in the land of Egypt. You were crying out, Lord, deliver us. And he did. But he didn't just free them from physical slavery. He freed them from, more important, spiritual slavery and emotional slavery. That's what the Lord God had done for the nation of Israel as he was forming them into that nation. And there was the motive for living up to the expectations the Lord God would put before them as he was preparing them from Egypt through the desert to the promised land of Canaan to be that nation through whom he had chosen that the line of the Savior would come through. I want you to be the nation of nations, he said. And this is how you will be the nation of nations. By putting these expectations into practice, he put them there to be kind of a hedge, to protect them. Not to isolate them, but to be the example. Because he knew, as he warned, if you step outside of that hedge and intermingle and follow the ways of the nations around you, what will happen? Instead of you being the influencer, you will be the influenced. And how many Israelites lost their life eternally because they failed to heed the expectations of God? The you that the Lord has written down through Moses, it's singular. This is for the individual, even though he's talking to the group. You, singular, you, individual, are to live up to these expectations because you, singular, are the one that I rescued from Egypt, and you make up the group. And what's the motivation for us today to put these expectations into practice? The Lord hasn't delivered us from slavery conditions in Egypt, but he has delivered us from slavery, hasn't he? Spiritual, emotional slavery. And how did he deliver us from such? Well, the season of Lent clearly is a reminder of how he has delivered us. Through the gift of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, who came and lived that perfect life, who lived these expectations perfectly since we cannot, and that was part of the price of our salvation, and then took that perfect life to die that innocent death. And because Jesus died that innocent death for us, the love of Christ compels us to no longer live for ourselves, but rather to live and die for him who lived and died and lives again for us. That's the motivation. The love of God clearly seen in the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, and what he did there for us on the cross. And God then, through the work of the Holy Spirit, has set us apart to be a great nation, so to speak, not to dominate the earth, but as part of his invisible church, we are to be the influencer rather than the influenced. And so in a way, he has set a hedge around us through his word, his law, and gospel to protect us because he knows what happens, right? When we go outside the hedge, when we try to flirt with the world, we too often get sucked in by the world. And how many at one time confessors of Christ are now spiritually dead for all eternity? Because they flirted with the world and thought they could survive on their own, but did not or will not. The Lord knows what he's talking about when he says in John 15, when Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches, remain in me, remain connected. Apart from me, you cannot do anything. Anything pleasing to God, anything that will save your life. God gives us those words and others like them because he knows temptation is all around us. And so he leads us even in that model prayer to pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Lord, help me recognize what temptation is for me, whether it be on the computer, whether it be in my mind, whether it be with hanging with friends, whatever that temptation might be. Lord, help me recognize it and resist it. And when I do fall, Lord, pick me back up and assure me of your forgiveness. The motivation for that is clear. The love of God shown through his Son, Jesus Christ. For he is, I am the Lord your God for us too. And now what are those expectations that we are motivated to live? Well, they're divided nicely by God's doing. In a relationship that has to deal with him first and foremost, and then puts us in a position to have a relationship with those he's created around us. And when it comes to that relationship with him, what word would you use to describe how that relationship is to be lived? He is to be the top priority, the top billing. And when he's not, the other relationships will suffer as well. I am the Lord your God. And he says, I am a jealous God. That is, he has intense zeal for our relationship with him. Why? Because he knows if he's not the top priority, what happens? We will be lost. Now, we can relate to jealousy. And it's not all bad when it comes to relationships. There is a good jealousy. We should care if someone is flirting with somebody else and not be okay with that. God's not okay when we're flirting with other gods. Gods that we human beings have invented. For there is no other true God than the Lord God himself. And yet he knows that temptation is there. What is that temptation for some people? What is that idol that you have made in your heart and in your mind? Maybe it's your vehicle. Maybe it's your house. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your bank account. Maybe it's a friendship. What is it that rivals God in your life and keeps you from honoring God day in and day out, from making him the top priority? You know, God, I would come to church this weekend, but you know, the 49ers are playing and I got sweet tickets. Now, I'm not knocking going to the game. It's the attitude behind that, right? You know, I got a roof that needs shingling. I know I could have done it yesterday or I could do it Monday, but I'm going to do it on Sunday morning when I have the opportunity to gather together with fellow believers in Christ and to show my support and encouragement for them. No, I'm going to use Sunday morning as that time because, God, Monday morning's my time. Again, it's not the issue of doing your roof on a Sunday morning. It's the attitude behind it. Why does God too often get second fiddle in our life? And yet we say, God, I love you first and foremost. And what does he say to us too often? No, you don't. I know your heart. I know your mind. How many surprised people will there be on Judgment Day when they say, Lord, I gave you 5 Sundays out of 52. And he's going to say, I never knew you because you really never knew me. It's the attitude of the heart that reveals where we truly are. It's not just sitting in a pew that matters. It's the attitude behind sitting in that pew. God is to be top priority. He is a jealous God. Think of how his name is misused. It kind of speaks to the natural knowledge of God. How many people who don't even claim to know God yet say, oh, God, well, I'm glad you know him too. Would you like your name misused as often as God's name is misused? Because when they say, oh, God, they're not talking in a positive light. But yeah, God is present. God hears you. He may not acknowledge you because you don't acknowledge him. But how careless that can just flow off our lips, words that malign God's name. Which then speaks to the importance of that third commandment. To set time aside to worship the Lord, and not just 1 hour a week, but like the psalmist, meditating on the word of the Lord day and night. so that we have that motive clear in our heart, in our mind, and we then can also know what his expectations are and by the grace of God put them into practice to his glory for our benefit and the benefit of those around us. Because he knows if we do not set time aside, if we don't make it a priority, it won't be and will slip away. That's why confirmands typically only 20% remain faithful to the Lord. 80% become reprioritized after eighth grade. They're in the most pivotal years of their life, those teenage years. Where are they not? In the house of the Lord. And we as adults almost make excuses for them. Like, that's okay. We need to stop the excuses. It's not okay. And they're not coming back like they used to. Satan, as we get closer to the end of the age, is good at his job. But it's not impossible. The task of keeping people connected. The third commandment. Instead of despising the preaching and hearing of his word, even if it's not all exciting and the music's not rip-roaring, that's not the point. The point is staying connected to the word. The word is the life source. And again, if that relationship with God is out of sync, what can we expect in other relationships to be out of sync? And so our relationship toward others, God says, love your neighbor. Who is your neighbor? Even the person you don't like, that person is still your neighbor and is to be treated with respect. Even the government representative you do not like is still to be treated with respect because of the position that person holds. And so we're to respect those in authority over us, whether that be in the government, in the church, and also in the home. Parents, you're not the friend, you're the parent. Friendship will come later. And so as God speaks to these commandments and our relationship with one another, he touches on all aspects of our being, the physical, the emotional, and also the spiritual. And so he says, not only show respect to one another, also do not hurt or harm one another. And that includes yourself. How many people to get attention or dealing with something in their life will bring harm to themselves because they don't know how to deal with it? How can we help them? How can we reach out to them? How can we encourage them? And harm through adultery. Adultery is not just the physical act, right? It starts in the mind and starts in the heart. It can be through a computer. It can be through an iPhone. It can be in person. It can be in the office. It can be anywhere. The Lord warns against it. And as we don't want our possessions stolen, who are we to steal the possessions or ruin the possessions of others? Isn't it a shame, though, that in our country you can't even park your car in a street without being concerned about your window being smashed? What happened to law and order? Well, we've stopped living these expectations. And expecting expectations to be lived up to. And then the eighth commandment, that's the big one, right, too? Because how much mental harm has been done, even to our youth, through social media, the bullying that takes place in cyberspace. Reputations matter. Reputations are to be upheld. And so God, in these commandments, right, as we have looked at the what does this mean by these commandments, there's a positive and there's also a negative. What to avoid, but then how can we avoid it and how can we help when we fall into it? So it's not just the actions, it's the thoughts too that need to be curbed. For the Lord has said, right, it's out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, sexual immorality, and so on. And it's those thoughts that give birth to sin. So Lord, help us curb the thoughts so those thoughts don't get an opportunity to come out in action. Because life is not a game, is it? There's no reset button. Once you pull that trigger, it's pulled. Once you say, hit enter on and send, it's sent. But while there's still breath, we pray that any harm that has been done can be overcome. God, expectations are not old-fashioned. They're not out of touch. They are still valid, and they need to be lived. Luke 11 reminds us, blessed are they who hear the word of God. And let's let it sit there? No, who put it into practice. And that starts with you, dear friend. And that continues through you. As you encourage others to live up to these expectations. And we can do this because God has put in you a love for Him and a love for your neighbor. Amen. Please stand. Please be seated. We pray. Almighty God, we praise and honor your holy name for your numerous acts of love and mercy on behalf of your people. We rejoice in the knowledge that he is our advocate before your throne and that he intercedes for us in all our needs.
Send your Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds with understanding and knowledge of your heavenly truths.
Give to all who serve your holy church a full measure of your grace, that Christ may be confessed, his cross uplifted, and his gospel declared as the only way to eternal life. Bless all parents that they may be wholesome examples to their children.
May they teach their children to love you, to practice virtue, to desire to pursue instruction in your word, and to serve your church and all people.
Hear the prayers of all who were afflicted in the quiet hour of the night when they are weighed down with pain, loneliness, and anxiety. Bring them strength and hope by assuring them that your love endures, your power overcomes, and your presence remains constant. Lord, we reap what we sow. Help us sow generously as you are generous with us. Through you, we have become rich in ways the world on its own will not know or find. Help us use the thank offerings we bring to support the spread of the gospel, so more and more can know what true wealth is and reap a harvest of righteousness. May those able to celebrate another year of grace be able to see your grace abundantly poured out in their life. And for our couples celebrating their wedding anniversary, renew their love in light of your love for each of them. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. As we leave this hour of worship, we give all glory to Jesus. We also pray,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
As we continue with the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Almighty God, we thank you for teaching us the things you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Thanks for filling out those blue cards on a regular basis and also encouraging our guests to fill those out. Those are helpful to have to follow up with during the week, so appreciate that. We're still looking at the book of Philippians, Joy in Christ, and Paul wrote that while he was in prison and still was able to find joy in Christ, and so we continue our study at that book. Lutheran Women's Missionary Society in the Mission Box Sunday, first Sunday of the month, so please check that out, what that's all about. You can look at the information board if you're not familiar with what's that Mission Box purpose. And then baby bottles, thank you for bringing those back. I got most of them back, so appreciate that. Thank you for your generosity and support of this ministry to unwed mothers. Our fourth midweek Lenten service is coming Wednesday, Lord willing, at 6:30 with the fellowship meal at 5:30 in our multipurpose center. We will be starting a new grief share on March 19th at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You can just show up and attend that way, or you can go online to Grief Share. Look up that website, Grief Share, and you can check out Citrus Heights locations, and St. Mark's will be on there. You can register that way, too. We are wrapping up a Cliff Notes version of it tomorrow, but then we'll start a new 13-week session on March 19th. We did extend a call for junior kindergarten classroom to Mrs. Angela Turner. She is serving in Pflugerville, Texas, and so we keep Angela and her husband in prayer as they deliberate on where to continue serving the Lord. And then Mr. Vogt is still deliberating his call to serve actually that same school in Pflugerville, Texas. Wasn't designed that way, but that's how it has worked out. So they can exchange notes that way. Christian Aid and Relief, with all the disasters that are they're going on in our own state and throughout the country and the world, if you are looking to keep up to date on what's going on, our relief efforts, As a church body, we work through local churches and our mission outposts in other countries. Christian Aid and Relief, you can go to that Wells website and look that up, Christian Aid and Relief, and you can donate there online as well if you're so inclined to do so. Usually, Christian Aid and Relief will partner oftentimes with Red Cross for the initial reactions to disasters, and then as Red Cross and others have to move on to other things, we appreciate what Red Cross does, even if we may not agree with everything. People have their differences, but they do great, good work. And Christian Aid Relief stays there then for the long term. We send volunteer teams into those areas, and we support and supply light fixtures, generators, you name it, to help. So just more good stuff that God allows us to do than humanitarian aid. Now, don't forget to set your clocks ahead 1 hour before you go to bed Saturday night so that you can stay on time with the rest of us who remember to set our clocks ahead. And then check out the weekly news for other things that are going on here at church and school. Have a great day in the Lord. Thank you.